This time I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles back to the Psalms, this time to Psalm 100. I trust it's a very familiar psalm to you all. Perhaps one which many of you children were asked to memorize at this time of the year at school. Very well known to us, we want to take the time this morning to hear what the Lord would say to us by means of this psalm and this call to give thanks to the Lord. So Psalm 100, page 635 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And thus ends our reading from God's word this morning. We'll be looking at the whole psalm together, and we'll be looking at it in four ways this morning, as you can see in the back of your handout, your bulletin this morning. There we have our theme and our points as well for you to follow along. The beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Honorable G.K. Chesterton once wrote that when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. And thinking about our own lives, and perhaps especially in being contemplative this past week, looking ahead to Thanksgiving Day, I'm sure many of us recognize that more often than not, we take things for granted rather than to take them with gratitude. It's a struggle each one of us faces, and maybe that's even part of the reason why our nation and our nation to the north, let's say, both have had to institute, create a law establishing a day to give thanks. It's really a sad thing that we have a day of thanksgiving. It's really quite sad because it gives the impression that really if our government didn't encourage us to do this and establish this day, then you and I likely wouldn't take the time to give to others and to God, most importantly, the thanks that he is due. And it's perhaps especially embarrassing for us as Christians, as we believe that we have the most cause, the most reason to be thankful above everybody else on this earth. We see the embarrassing fact, or the truth of that, even in the scriptures, because you see how often God actually has to come to his people and call them to give him thanks. You see that even as Israel's about to enter the promised land, God comes to them and warns them, you need to remember me. You need to remember that I'm the God who gives you these things. You need to remember that when you bring the food into your barns, that I'm the God who blessed the crops, who blessed the work of your hands to give you these things so that you come to me and give me thanks and don't chase after these other gods. And when you come to the Psalms, the songbook of the Holy Spirit, the very songbook written and authored by the Spirit of God, we repeatedly come to find these invitations, these calls to give thanks, to give praise to the Lord. And it really sends the message and gives the impression that God's people, even for as much as they've been blessed, really struggle to give thanks. That it's almost like we're begrudging in actually giving to God the gratitude that he deserves. We're slow with our gratitude. And we will often find better things to do with our time than to really take a moment and sing to our God and praise his name. And all of that serves to show us our need to hear what the Lord would say to us this morning as he explains the kind of thanks which truly pleases him. on this Thanksgiving Day, we want to give our time and attention to this psalm where we're encouraged to come into God's presence with a specific kind, a certain kind of thanksgiving in our hearts and our minds. God isn't just looking for some generic kind of thanks, but the Lord is looking for something. The Lord wants us to give thanks to Him, expressing different things. And we see those four things in this psalm this morning. You have them there on the back of your bulletin, but the four things we'll be looking at is that our thanksgiving must be enthusiastic, it must be covenantal, it must be eager, and it must be confident. We're going to look at each of these in turn this morning as we see how the Lord calls us, invites us to come before Him with this kind of thanksgiving. The psalm itself is actually neatly divided into two parts. There's really two parts of this psalm. You have in verses 1 and 2, as well as in verse 4, an invitation to worship. And then after these invitations to worship, you have in verse 3 and 5, reasons to give thanks to God. So really, there's two parts of this psalm, but they're not identical. They're not two identical parts, but really, they stress different things. They both call, both parts call us to worship God, but they stress a different way in doing that. And then the reasons given for thanking and praising God are also somewhat different. That's why we'll be looking at each in turn, these four, the two calls to worship and the two reasons for thanking God. Well, in verse 1 and 2, we have the first call to worship the Lord, to give thanks to His name. And specifically, we're being called to do so enthusiastically. We're called to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We're to come into His presence with thanksgiving. We're to come with gladness, serve the Lord with gladness, and come into His presence with singing. The first of these words given in a joyful noise, first of all, it means a loud shout of praise. It means to be a jubilant expression of thanksgiving, not a quiet thing, but it's a loud thing, not a discordant number of voices shouting this and that, but a united, glorious, loud praise to God. And it's followed up then by gladness and singing. The chief idea is that we would enthusiastically lift up the fullness of our voice to give thanks to God, to offer up to Him praise and thanksgiving that is extremely enthusiastic. In fact, it's a word that would normally kind of refer to the trumpeting fanfare that would accompany a king when he enters into a city. That our voices in singing to God would be like those glorious trumpets blasting through the city, blasting through the world, declaring our gratitude to God. Now we may wonder why there would be this emphasis on loud, enthusiastic praise, but all of us, I trust, are aware of the fact that enthusiasm in thanksgiving is evidence of the depth and sincerity of our thanksgiving. How many times have we ourselves been given something that we really weren't wanting or really were not hoping for or pleased with? You were really expecting something else. You really had your hopes set on something else. And so when the time comes and you open your gift or receive your present, you are there and you have a hard time actually saying thank you. And what comes out then is kind of a garbled, non-committal mumble thanks sort of thing. You see that with your children as well, and you know immediately that you failed them on their birthday or you failed them at Christmas because they are obviously not very happy with what they've been given and their thanks are very low. Because you know that if you give them what they want, you know your children, they're going to be jumping up and down. They'll be, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And they don't care if they're going to wake the neighbors in at 6 in the morning. They're going to shout. They're going to yell. They're going to say, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, thanks, Mom and Dad. I love you. This is so nice. This is what I've been wanting all along. You see, the loudness of our thanksgiving, the enthusiasm of our thanksgiving is evidence of the depth and the sincerity of our thanksgiving. You know, young people, that's why it's embarrassing that you're there opening the hymnal and mumbling praise. That's not right. Some of us can do that as adults as well. But you see, even in that time, we are more concerned to feel shame for praising God than we really have an enthusiasm to praise God. We're more concerned about what our neighbor thinks than really enthusiastically thanking and praising God like we should be. We can so prize being reserved. We can prize being restrained. And there should be a kind of restraint in our praise. God's not asking for people just to be doing whatever they want and yelling and screaming and being crazy. But God is asking us to thank Him even as our children will thank us when we give them something they truly are delighting in. To not be ashamed, to not be scared to yell from the mountaintops, to not be ashamed to sing from the top of our lungs our great thanksgiving to the God who has loved us and who has blessed us so richly. Make a joyful noise, sing with gladness. Come into His presence and lift up that voice. Stop mumbling, but shout and praise your God. God loves it when He hears you singing with all your heart. God loves it when He hears this depth to your singing that echoes how truly thankful you are in your heart and your soul. For what indeed have we been given? Well, verse 3 provides the reason why we would be so enthusiastic in our thanks and praises to God. And what it is really reminding us of is the covenantal nature of our relationship to the Lord. Our thanksgiving should recognize the covenantal relationship we have with God. The psalmist says, "Know the Lord, know that the Lord, know that Yahweh, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." You see, the whole verse is brimming with the magnificence of knowing God and knowing who we are to Him. He's the Lord, our covenant God, who made wondrous promises to us in the Scriptures. He alone is God. He set us free. He bought us to be His own precious possession. It's not just that He made us like everybody else. Not just that He created us like He created every other human being, but know that God set His particular covenantal love upon us to separate us from the general mass of humankind. We've been looking at this in our catechism class on Sundays. We've been looking at the fact that out of the entire human race, out of the whole magnitude of humanity, God chose you. It wasn't God just saying, "Well, I'm going to take that group over there," but God's saying, "I'm choosing you, not because of who you are, not because of what you would do, not because of who you would be, but no, simply out of His own love and good pleasure, God said, I choose you." But not only that, when we look at Jesus, Jesus took on flesh for you personally. When He died, He didn't die for all the human race. No, Jesus died specifically for His sheep. He died particularly for you. Your name was on His heart when He suffered on the cross. Your name was in His mind when He prayed to God for all those who would come to believe in Him. See, this psalm, this verse 3 especially, is steeped in the utter glorious truth of being particularly loved and known by the living God. You are particularly, personally cherished by the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. We are the sheep He lays down in green pastures. We are the sheep He leads beside still waters, those whom He directs in the path of righteousness, whom He carries and bears through the valley of the shadow of death itself. He's not merely your Creator, He is your Father. The God of the entire universe is your Father. He gave up His only begotten Son to go through the eternal suffering of hell to free you from your sins. He gives you the covenantal promises. He seals those promises with the sacraments. Our praise and our thanksgiving then ought to flow forth because we so deeply cherish this glorious, rich, covenantal relationship with God? Why would you be so enthusiastic? Why would you be so unashamed to sing God's praises at the top of your lungs? Because He is your covenantal God. You are His covenantal child, and that means that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is yours in Jesus Christ. When is the last time you thanked God for being who He is? When is the last time you meditated upon and thanked God for this incredible covenantal relationship He's established with you through Jesus Christ? You know, we come to Thanksgiving Day today, and what are we quick to give thanks for? Well, I thank You, Lord, that You healed me from my sickness. I thank You, Lord, that You gave me work. I thank You, Lord, that You gave me a child. I thank You, Lord, that You gave me a spouse. I thank You, Lord, that You gave me a house. I thank You, Lord, for giving me clothes, etc., etc. All those things are good and proper to give thanks for. But you see, our minds often go to when we think about thanks is just simply the things God gives. And we're being encouraged to praise God not simply because of the things He gives, but because of who He is. And just the wonder of our relationship with Him. Our minds should turn from what God has given and turn to who He is. So we don't merely give thanks for things, but for God Himself. So we should be enthusiastic in thanking God and praising Him, especially by rejoicing in the wondrous covenantal relationship we have with Him. But this in turn also feeds an eagerness to thank Him as well. In verse 4, we hear this second call to worship God. But this time we're being called to do so eagerly. We're to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, to give thanks to Him and bless His name. As you might have realized by talking about courts and gates, we're being encouraged to seek God where He may be found. And in the Old Testament, of course, the Israelites went to God in a tabernacle, a temple. They would walk through the gate, and they would come into the outer court, and there in the outer court, they would be led in praising God and offering their sacrifices and expressing their thanks. And now we know that we have no temple or tabernacle, but the thought still applies. As the author of Hebrews makes clear, we may not have a physical tabernacle and temple, but when we gather together as God's people, as we gather in the Spirit and in Jesus Christ, we are in the throne room of God. We are, as we walk through those doors, we are by faith entering, going through the gates of heaven, and coming in these doors, we are by faith entering into the very throne room of God Himself through Christ. You see, having this awareness of the magnificent relationship with God, knowing that He is our God, we are His people, and that God is pleased to be with His children, there should be a corresponding eagerness, desire, craving to give thanks to God. Because we know that God, He is our God, we are His people, but He's even opened the door for us to come before Him. So if God is so rich in His mercy, if God is so kind as to actually be present with us and to open the door to us, we should be so eager and overjoyed to enter in then and to give Him praise and thanksgiving. Already in verse 2, we were called to serve the Lord with gladness. And that word in the Hebrew, serve, actually means to minister. We are all called to be ministers. Each one of you is a minister. To be a minister in the house of God, to be someone who has the duty of coming to praise God. You have the duty to lift up His name, to give Him thanks. That's your job, actually. The chief end of man is to glorify God. It is your job. The whole reason for your existence, the whole purpose for your creation and salvation was to be a minister who thanks God. But here we must realize that thanksgiving to God shouldn't merely be something we have to do or something we need to do. It should be something we have an overwhelming desire to do. This call to give thanks to God shouldn't be for us what it's often like with our children. They know they have to say thank you. They know they need to go to their friend's mother or father after they stayed at their house and had a meal and say thank you for dinner, thank you for everything. And yet we realize that our children often forget. We have to remind them to say thank you. Please say thank you. Please go over there and say thank you. We have to remind them of that time and time again. And God is saying that shouldn't be what it's like for us. It shouldn't, thanks to Him, shouldn't be something dragged out of us, something we always have to be reminded to do, something which is merely a habit and a custom and a tradition. No, God delights in having people who are ready to come to worship, who are ready to lift up and exalt His name in thanksgiving, who don't just feel that they have to thank Him, who aren't here this morning because this is what we have to do, but who say, no, we have an opportunity, we have the open door, you are eager, you are joyful, you are happy, you want to be here. Some of you may find to be far beyond you to actually want to be in church. But God's saying, you should want to be with me, to thank my name. There should be an eagerness in your heart to thank me, so that when you open your eyes every morning, you are led to give thanks to me for a new day. There should be an eagerness in your soul, so that when you wake up on the Lord's day, you're not rolling out of bed moaning and groaning about the fact that you now have to get ready for church. But instead, you get ready and dressed, looking forward to coming into the presence of God Himself. You're looking forward to thanking God for being with you a whole nother week, for providing for you a whole nother week, for taking care of you for a whole nother week. There should be an overwhelming desire and eagerness to come into God's presence, knowing that He is your God, that He has opened the way to enter into His presence. There should always be a desire to thank God. And why would we be so eager? Why would there always be cause to eagerly come before God in thanksgiving? Not only because we're thankful for the relationship He's established in Christ, but also because we're confident. We're confident of the goodness of God. And I think it's here that perhaps many of us really struggle. Because it's one thing to have a hard time being enthusiastic in praising God. It's one thing to be as appreciative of this covenant relationship as we should be. And it's another thing to be as eager to glorify God and give Him thanks as we need to be. But perhaps our greatest struggle is found here in being confident toward God. Apparently back in the 1700s, King George III also called his nation to give thanks, to set aside a day of thanksgiving to the Lord. He declared it was very important for them as a nation to give thanks to God for His many blessings. The story goes that after he called the nation to give this, or set aside this day of thanksgiving to God, that he was then questioned, what do we have reason to be thankful for? We have lost the Revolutionary War. We lost all our colonies in the New World. Many lives were cut to an end, and the nation is facing great national debt. So what in the world do we actually have cause to be thankful to God for? And in response, King George reportedly said, "We can be thankful it wasn't any worse." When you think about the thanks you normally give to God, is that the way you often approach it? Do you come to give thanks before God and you say, "Well, Lord, it wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I was looking for. But thanks God, it wasn't any worse. You know, Lord, this year has been horrible. It has been hard. There's been lots of bad things. But thank you, God, it wasn't any worse." I think we can often approach thanks to God in that way. We look back on our lives and we see things we don't like. We see things that hurt. We see things that were wrong. We see things that didn't go the way we wanted. And so we can look back on our lives and say, Lord, thank you, it wasn't worse. But you see here, we're being called to do something more than that. We're being called to do something bigger than that. We're to give thanks to God, not merely because he kept things from being worse. We're to give thanks to God because he's good. And our lives have always been good. We're to give thanks to God because we are so confident in his goodness to us, so confident that no matter what has happened in our life has been for our good, that we burst forth in thanksgiving to God. We're to acknowledge that God has always been good, that our life has always been good, that even if it wasn't the life we wanted or would have chosen for ourselves, it has been good because it's been given to us by a good God. You see, we can look back on it and we can say, thanks, Lord, it wasn't worse. Or we can look back on it and say, thank you, Lord, for doing good in my life. You know, that kind of faith mentality that even looks on the bad things and remembers God is using the bad things to our good and growing us in Christ Jesus, so you're able to look on the whole course of your life and say, thank you, God, I'm here to praise you, I'm here to glorify you, because, Lord, even if I see bad things, I know the entirety of my life has one word written over it, and that one word is good. My life is good. My life has been good because you, Lord, are good. And you always do good to your children. You see, our thanksgiving must flow forth from a heart of faith in Jesus Christ, which fully recognizes that God gives nothing. Again, God gives nothing but good to his children. God does nothing but good to his children, and God will always do good to his children. You see, even more, the psalmist casts our eyes forward down the lines of history and reminds us that God is not only good to us, but his steadfast love endures to all generations. God is not only good to us, he's good and continues to be good to our children, as he says in the Ten Commandments, showing steadfast love to thousands, to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. See, if we're going to be truly thankful and give to God the thanks that he deserves, we must acknowledge him to be the overflowing fountain of all good. A good which no amount of bad would lead us to deny. Today is Thanksgiving Day, a special time which we designate for expressing the gratitude which God deserves. And yet in hearing these invitations to give thanks, and the reason why we should give God thanks, it ought to be very clear to us that Thanksgiving is not to be a hat we wear one day a year. But thanksgiving is to be at the core and the center of our living. Even as Paul will write in 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, at all times, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, as I said at the very beginning of the sermon, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. And we are being called to take things with gratitude, to be enthusiastically thankful, to be thankful as we glory in the covenantal relationship God has given us, to be eager to express thanks to God in worship, because we are so confident that he has been good, that he is good, and always will be good to you and to me. This Thanksgiving Day, give God the thanks that He deserves. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our good and gracious God, we bless your name and we thank you again as we draw near to you in prayer, as we think upon the glorious riches you've given us, the wonderful relationship we have with you in Christ Jesus. We thank you, O Lord our God, that you are working all things to our good, that you are the good God who always does good. Father, help us to be persuaded of those truths. Help us to meditate upon them and so be led to give you enthusiastic and eager praise. To not be ashamed to lift up our voice to acknowledge you. To not be ashamed of sharing with our family members and friends the thankfulness we feel in our heart for how you have been by our side, how you have loved us and cared for us and richly blessed us in Jesus Christ. O Lord our God, help us to be that thankful people who heed the words of the psalmist here in Psalm 100. Father, send your Spirit to move deep within our hearts and our souls, that we may truly glorify you with all our thanks and our praise, and that we would always show the world our contentment and our gratitude in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we bless you this day. We give all praise to your name. And would you hear us now once again? For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.